BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening!
Okay, welcome everyone. So I'm Molly Conley and I'm one of the education nurses with the BDNG. And today I've got Julie Critcher from the School and Public Health Nurses Association with us on our podcast today. Julie, maybe do you just mind kind of introducing yourself, maybe a little bit about your background and kind of maybe what interested you in maybe kind of taking part in SAFNA in the first place?
Brilliant. Thanks, Molly. Thank you for inviting us to be part of this podcast. Really excited to be able to talk to you about the role of School and Public Health Nursing Association and all things eczema, hopefully. So I'm one of three professional officers for the School and Public Health Nurse Association, commonly known as SAFNA. I qualified as an adult nurse and then worked as a staff nurse in a school nursing team. And then I undertook my, as it was then, a degree in a specialist community public health nurse, school nursing. I then worked for 28 years in school nursing and recently left the NHS a few years ago to go into another role. But for my SAFNA role, I've been a committee member for many, many years, and an amazing opportunity came up in October 2023 to become a deputy professional officer. So I was interviewed and I was honoured and privileged to be offered the role, and I then became a professional officer last year. The role is just amazing. It's an honour, it's a privilege to be able to represent the school and public health nursing workforce, and we do work across the whole of the United Kingdom. The role is just, we provide committees of practice for a variety of issues, workforce, we have a student one, safeguarding safeguarders, we promote webinars, and that's where we met, Molly, was when you connected to SAFNA and asked about would we be interested, and we had a great webinar raising awareness of eczema and just updating school and public health nurses. We also attend and present at conferences, we respond to government consultations, so just an incredibly varied role to be a professional officer of SAFNA.
And kind of for people who maybe don't know, what exactly is SAFNA? What exactly are, you know, school and public health nurses? Is it just health visitors and kind of school nurses, or does it encompass a wider kind of variety of nurses?
So we're the professional voice for school and public health nurses across the UK. Our aim is to achieve equity and excellence in school nursing practice, leading to improved health outcomes and reduced health inequalities for all school-aged children, young people, their families and communities. So there is the Institute of Health Visiting, which is aimed at the health visiting workforce, and we're aimed at the school-aged and public health nursing workforce. We have three areas of focus. So our first area is around professional development of the workforce, which is really, really key. Our second strand is about policy influencing and partnership working. And then our third strand is about research and education. And we're also affiliated with the National Association of School Nurse Academics. So these are all academics working in school, delivering school specialist community public health nursing, school nursing PGDIPs, because that's the qualification you get now. We're a non-affiliated professional organisation, really committed to the advancement of the health of children and young people through that promotion of excellence in school nursing. We're about raising standards, about building expertise, creating those networks, those communities of practice. We have those webinars, really bringing practitioners together. We want to be a centre of excellence, about supporting and strengthening ongoing leadership of school nursing. And we also have a leadership programme that we run once a year, which is really well attended and some great feedback for it. Thinking about new and effective ways to share key public health information. We want to support career development. We want to be that voice across the UK, acting as a political base for influencing government decision making. Really want to promote and participate in research. I'm sure anybody listening to this podcast, if you go searching for school nursing research, there is not a plethora. So we really want to really promote and advocate for school nurses to be leading and part of research. Really linking and partnering with like-minded organisations. We are a charity, so we have a board of trustees. We have a new CEO that joined us in February, Duncan McCauley. There's myself as a professional officer. There's also Sally-Ann Sutton and Susie Scales. We have a new business manager, Catherine Dare-Wright, and we have a community and digital operations, Gemma Clark. Gemma is our cog and sits behind in the background when we're supporting online events. We also have an expert advisory group. These are a group of volunteers who provide time to us from a varied background in school and public health nursing. We are all part-time employees. We are very small, which reflects the workforce, but we are mighty and we do have a strong voice to be represented school and public health nursing.
And I think, you know, sometimes in secondary care, we might not maybe be aware of exactly what the role of a school nurse is. It might be all the way back in our nursing training, that might have been the kind of only time we were maybe exposed to school nurses. And it might be that maybe we more regularly work. It just depends on where you are and how your role works. But could you just maybe briefly touch upon a little bit about what the role of a school nurse would be?
So we're qualified nurses, can be child, adult, mental health, learning disability. And I think there's a myth out there sometimes you've got to be a child nurse to come into school nursing. But we're dealing with fit, healthy children. So any of those pathways bring its own unique knowledge base, sometimes midwives. So on the first part of the register, go on to undertake normally 1 year a PG diploma in this Skiffen Specialist Community Public Health Nurse School Nursing Practice. Intakes generally September and January. There are some April intakes in universities. Fully funded course. So if people are interested, it's about sort of keeping an eye out for those sponsorships, the common opportunities that come along. So just to think about sort of thinking about United Kingdom. So obviously we've got England, Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. We've all got slightly differing delivery styles. In England, we've got the Healthy Child Programme. But I think the messages, the frameworks are different, but the outcomes are the same. It's about improving children and young people's health and wellbeing and reducing those health inequalities. So in England, we have the Healthy Child Programme 5 to 19 or 25. It's an evidence-based approach through a tiered framework of delivery. So it's about looking at community, offering a universal offer, having a targeted offer, and then having a specialist offer as well. Very much about early intervention and support for the child, the young person, the family, working closely with education, but others also other professionals such as social care. I think the other thing to consider also is that the services for school-aged children, young people. So we do have to be thinking about those children, young people that aren't actually accessing education. And we know there's a whole raft of those children in communities. And some school nursing services are developing services around really how do we reach out to those children, young people. The England Healthy Child Programme was refreshed earlier this year, and there are suggested 4 contact points, and that would be the same in any of the Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. It's about that school entry, so that child starting school, making sure we're ensuring we've got a good health needs assessment at school entry. Then for us in England, the suggested points for other health assessments are year 6, year 8 and year 10. So in the other devolved nations have got slightly different touch points. We have 4 high impact areas, so around physical, mental, emotional health and wellbeing, supporting children and young people with additional needs, which is where our children and young people with eczema would fit in, thinking about keeping children safe and well, and thinking about those transition points, because those transition points into school, moving on to secondary school, and then moving on out into FE, workplace, etc., etc. I think the interesting thing is that we don't have mandation of our contacts. So that's something that SAFNA is definitely having conversations and calling for, is about mandation of contacts. Funding is provided in slightly different ways, again, in all the nations. For us, it comes through local authority and then provided out by possibly the NHS, local authority, community interest companies, etc. The role is varied. No day is ever the same. It's an amazing opportunity to support children, young people and families, working in partnership, collaboration with other partners. We undertook an inaugural survey in 2024, which demonstrated wide variation and significant challenges in service delivery, with safeguarding dominating some practitioners' time, which left little or no time for that really key early intervention. and public health work. But school nurses are nothing but tenacious and proactive, and rise to challenges, and really want to make a difference to children, young people and their lives, and supporting them with health needs and really considering those health inequalities. So our inaugural survey is available on our website. So if people are interested to go in and take a look, it is stark reading, but say some great ideas and thoughts around innovations in practice as well.
And I think, you know, you're touching upon those probably, you know, children and young people that might be missing out on these key touch points. Maybe those children and young people who aren't able to go into kind of normal, quote unquote, mainstream school. What about kind of, for example, independent schools, or, you know, that child that might not be able to attend school? Is there a difference in terms of the role of the school nurse, or is it kind of relatively the same?
I think if you've got a child, young person not attending school, it's about where you're then linking in with education, with attendance officers, opportunities there to network, the potential to do a home visit maybe with an attendance officer to really understand what the challenges and issues are, and then trying to transition back into school if that child is attending school. I think the new Children's Health and Wellbeing Bill has got some strong information around those children that aren't in education. So how we ensure we're reaching out to those children, young people. Nurses working in independent school settings, SAFNA does support those nurses working in independent school settings. Some are qualified specialist community public health nurses, and some are nurses working in that setting. And we've got some really interesting blogs on our website, sort of sharing what their role is. It's obviously very different to an NHS, I'll say NHS SCIF and school nurse, because we potentially, our surveys suggested that they are caring for around 4,000 school-aged children, young people, whereas obviously a nurse working in independent school setting is in that setting. And there's those opportunities to build relationships with those children, young people. I would suggest much more than we can. But there are opportunities in school and public health to build long-lasting relationships with families. I'll just read out a little bit from a blog from one of the independent nurses. So she talks about pupils' presentations to the purpose-built health centre are varied and numerous. In one morning alone, we can see bone and muscular sports injuries to common childhood illnesses and viruses. So they administer medications, which obviously a SCIF and school nurse working in mainstream schools would not be administering medications. Able to facilitate visits, they're responsible for overseeing the running of NHS immunisation programmes, whereas in academies and other schools, it's a school-aged immunisation service that goes in and provides that. And they support teaching staff with elements of the curriculum. And some school nursing services are still going into schools and delivering things like puberty, maybe vaping, raising awareness. But I think it's very much about the tension with that level of safeguarding. But school nurses tell us they really want to be doing that proactive public health work. That's what they trained for. And they are leaders of that Healthy Child programme with a skill mix team around them. So it might not be them going in to do some of that delivery. It might be one of the skill mix team. But again, you know, ensuring that's of high standard and evidence-based practice.
And I think, you know, that proactive approach does tie into the NHS 10-year plan in England. In Scotland, it's a slightly different name, and in Wales and in Northern Ireland, but essentially it's all about this more community-driven care. In particular for school nurses, you know, I think from a dermatology side, we're always interested about how we can, you know, link in with our community colleagues about helping children and families. How might a school nurse, for example, if I was referring a patient to a school nursing team, how might they go about supporting that child or that young person's family?
I think first it's about that identification, isn't it? How are we finding these children, young people that might have some skin issues? So it could be highlighted, as said earlier, about poor school attendance. School might do a referral in. You know, we want some support around this child is not attending school, really poor attendance. It might be through those health assessments that I mentioned earlier. Some schools, school nursing services will have drop-in provision. Parents and carers can refer into skirt services. Some areas have got this something called Chat Health, which is a texting service. So a young person could text in, I'm really worried about my skin today, it's really sore, it's really itchy. So there are various mediums that you might sort of come into that school nursing service. I think it's about being an advocate in that setting. So for example, does a child need a cushion to sit on rather than sitting on a carpet or a plastic chair? So some really basic things that you could do, raising awareness of eczema within the setting. So it could be a classroom based activity, making sure that child or young person feels included. It might be an assembly. And is that child or young person confident to talk about their journey? Because hearing that voice of that child or young person is so powerful. So making sure they're really included and thinking about the challenges and issues for them within that setting. Are they going on a residential trip? Do they need to take their own bedding? Because actually, you know, going on a residential trip, laying on bedding that hasn't been washed, maybe in the powder that's okay for you. So really getting schools just to think about they're minor adjustments, but could make a real difference. Thinking about infection prevention and control. Is the emollient, is it in a pump dispenser? If it isn't, have you got a pot? So how are you going to make sure that that's kept safe and well and hands aren't going in? So thinking about different ways of getting that emollient out onto that child's skin. Going swimming, they're going to need longer time, aren't they, to get ready. When they get out of the pool, do they need to moisturise again? So some changes to really support, advocate, be part of that child and young person's journey with skin condition as well. Things like National Eczema Week, can the school do maybe an awareness raising an assembly? So there's lots of opportunities. I think school nursing can be the voice, be the advocate, and sort of really support. I think working in partnership it's a great opportunity. We've talked about, you know, just having the opportunity to talk to somebody, to be able to bounce ideas off. You know, have you got an idea that school could be doing? Actually, I'm working in the school, they've got this idea. So I think just having that opportunity to network, connect with each other. Have you got any other adjustment ideas for that child or young person in that school setting? Sharing of resources. There's so many great resources out there that school and public health nurses might not know about, but as dermatology nurses, great resource for school. So just linking up, having that opportunity to share experiences as well. And I think school nurses, we're used to working in that education setting, so we understand some of the challenges for schools as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's great to collaborate and share that knowledge base, especially, you know, sometimes if you're very siloed in your own little area, you might just not be aware of, oh, this thing exists, or this is a good idea. And just having that ability to collaborate with each other and build those relationships then can go on to, you know, support more than that, just one individual child. It can then go on to support, you know, 10, 100,
yeah, the whole school. Yeah. You know, there's probably adults working in that school as well that's got eczema. So, you know, there's you know, ideas, thoughts all the time, isn't there, that, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. So definitely that collaboration is really key and important. And you're the experts. You know, school and public health nurses are experts in public health nursing, but you're the experts in dermatology. So that's where we need to be linking in, you know, ensuring maybe like you know, the webinar we did earlier this year, we maybe offer that once a year. So we can provide just an update to the school and public health nursing workforce. I think that'd be a great partnership moving forward.
And you touched a little bit about some of the challenges for school nurses, in particular around the safeguarding challenges, maybe around the numbers of kind of people that the school nurses expected to kind of have oversee of in terms of kind of children and young people. What are kind of the challenges that would be for school nursing, you know, for maybe us to be aware of, I guess?
I think, again, it is the staffing and the workforce. And not every area actually has a robust school nursing service. So I think it is just about having that in mind, you know, reaching out maybe to most areas will have a website for school nursing services. So, you know, reaching out to that website and just introducing yourselves as dermatology nurses to say, you know, we're here if you need support. But the big issue is those challenges around the staffing and the tension around sort of safeguarding. If that comes in, you know, initial child protection case conference, that might take over anything else that nurse has got booked for that day, because that's a high priority. So I think it's this constant tension that school and public health nurses have. But some areas are, you know, we're aware of some areas have got the great working relationships with their commissioners. So it's, again, it's about that partnership working with our commissioners. But children and young people that have got health needs, they need that support. They need that support in school. That, you know, education are there to educate. But actually, if you've got a child that's got a constant worry, issue, concern around, I'm going to say eczema, you know, isn't sleeping at night, goes to school tired, actually that's a public health issue, isn't it? That's about that child's emotional health and well-being. So where can school and public health nurses support that child, working in partnership with education, with dermatology nurses, to make sure they can access education and they're able to go to school fit, happy, healthy and well?
And I think we kind of touched upon this, and you've touched upon this, that, you know, there might be some changes coming with this more proactive approach, this more community driven care. Is there, do you think, going to be a change in terms of kind of the future of school nursing and this more preventative approach towards kind of more community driven care, that maybe we might be delivering more care in school settings and education settings in, you know, local GP surgeries? Is that kind of something that might be in the future for Safina?
I think neighbourhood health hubs are interesting. I mean, school nurses have always worked in communities, in neighbourhoods. So the concept of neighbourhood health hubs, I think for school and public health nursing is nothing new in a way, because that's who we are. That's sort of, you know, what we've done for many, many years. So I think it's going to be interesting when the workforce plan actually comes out. I know we're talking about England predominantly here with the 10-year NHS health plan. But I think we're all waiting with bated breath, really, for that next step. What does that look like? What's that going to feel like? So I think we're in interesting times at the moment around public health nursing and where that's going. But we believe, Safina believes in the role. We have a unique selling point. We are the only universally accessible health practitioner to all school-aged children and young people. And we need to make sure that services are appropriately funded and commissioned to ensure there is a school nurse in every school. Duncan joined us in February of this year, so we're really excited to see how Safina grows and develops under his leadership. But we are going to continue to advocate for and support the workforce, because that is key and integral to Safina's role.
And in terms of kind of promoting children's health well-being, what can we kind of do to continue to collaborate and kind of promote that now and maybe in the future?
I think we hear, Safina hears from members, there continues to be a lack of understanding of the role of school nursing, not just by the public, but also within the nursing profession. And you definitely do not de-skill by coming to work in the community. You actually enhance your skills, for example, around assessment, communication. You're working autonomously in that community. And the opportunity to work alongside children, young people, families is absolutely unique. And it's a privilege to be able to cross the threshold of someone's home and provide that service. And also working collaboratively with the school to support children and people's health and well-being. So I think if anybody is interested in the role of school nursing, of school and public health nursing, if you've listened to this podcast and would like to know more, go take a look at our website, or you can email info@safina.co. But I'd like to say thank you, Molly, for the opportunity to come along and talk to you today and just raise the profile of school and public health nursing, but also considering our children and young people with skin conditions that are accessing schools or outside of schools.
And kind of what would be, you know, maybe a couple of take-home messages, maybe for those nurses working in dermatology, they've maybe got looking after a child or a young person, maybe that child or young person is struggling, you know, what would be maybe some take-home messages about kind of the role of a Safina nurse, or just, again, about collaboration, or just in general, any kind of end messages, take home messages for us to take away at the end?
I think reach out, search for school and public health, search for your school nursing service within your local areas, find what's there. And I think, you know, if anybody's struggling, come to us at info@safina.co and we'll see if we can connect you up. I think it's really important we do collaborate together. We do have these discussions, you know, raise the profile of school and public health nursing through Safina. I said earlier, it's also thinking about our children, young people that might be in a school that are struggling to access education, that maybe aren't going to school every day. So how can we support that child and young person, say, working together? So reach out to us, reach out, find your school nursing service, and reach out to SAFNA anytime to see if we can help. Happy to promote resources that you've got. We have a website, we have a fortnightly shout out. So our shout out, we share resources, and then we have a quarterly newsletter. So I think if any of you as dermatology nurses would like to share anything, please email, and we're more than happy to include resources in our shout out. And then if you wanted to write a blog, more than happy to receive anything like that, again, to work in collaboration to ensure our children and young people are supported and well cared for.
Yeah, and I think it's just, again, that holistic idea of, you know, the whole person's health, but then also we're extending that outwards, almost like a ripple effect from that one person outward and onward, just by the fact of sharing knowledge, collaborating. And I think that's one of the great aspects of a SCFID nurse, is that they have those contacts that you can kind of help spend that little bit of that ripple outward effect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for telling us a little bit about SAFNA. I know you've mentioned the website, but just if you don't mind, before we end, just maybe briefly just letting people know how they can maybe get in touch or where they can find these resources that you were talking about.
So we have a website, safna.co, and then there is a generic email, which is info@safna.co. So please do connect, and you can sign up to our fortnightly shout out. When you go onto the website, there should be a pop-up box that comes, and you can sign up to receive that fortnightly shout out.
Thank you so much again for joining us, and hope you all enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.